The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
The Patriots defense smothered the Bears last night, but was it elite play by New England? Did the Bears just hand the game to them? We want to hear your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you until 5 a.m. or until your ass goes to sleep. Whichever comes first. But I'm acting as a therapist today, validating your feelings about this Chicago Bears team and the frustration that you have surrounding it. Let's go to the phone lines. And then I'm going to read some text messages because, sheesh, so many of them. All right, we just go to Joe out in Cicero. I like talking to Joe. Joe, good to chat with you again. Glad you're part of the overnight crew. Welcome into my office.
God, I am so done. I could have went to the game today because my brother-in-law has season tickets, and I didn't go, and I am so glad I didn't. Because I couldn't imagine blowing $500, $600, $700 for that. You know, I'm just to the point, let them go. Let them go to Arlington Heights. I want an expansion team to move in to Soldier Field from in the AFC and give us something to root for. Call them the Chicago Skyline. So you got the Bears and the Cubs, the lovable losers. Let's get something going in Soldier Field. Because I've been watching the Bears for 50 years, and I'm done. During the Trestman years, I was watching my son cry and scream, throwing stuff at the TV. I'm tired of the Bears with losing seasons. He was 14 years old. This is my life.
He's married with kids now. He's still crying.
Yeah, he's in his 30s now. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, fire the coaches for what? You going to get it right the next time? When was the last time you got it right? You had Lovey.
So what did they get wrong? What's wrong?
Just poor choices. They didn't have the right people in the building.
Damn.
McCaskies.
That's the right answer, and that hurts. Yeah. They made
and
poor
that's
choices.
That's the painful thing. And as long as the McCaskies own the team, I just don't have any confidence. You can fire everybody on the squad right now, but who are they going to bring in? Is it going to be any better? I don't think so. So you might as well just let them all play out.
How do they,
until their contracts are done.
Joe, how do they do such a good job of raising our hopes? Do we do it to ourselves, or do the Bears paint the beautiful picture that makes us believe? Like which one is happening there? Because I feel the same way, where I too feel duped again, and I can't understand how I was allowed to be duped again.
It's not that we were duped. The opportunity was there, and they failed to seize it.
Oh my gosh, it hurts again when you say that.
They failed to seize it. And we all gave Eberflus the benefit of the doubt. And it's more than that. It's just everything. It's just every. It's just,
all right. Why won't they pull the trigger, Joe?
Well, they're not going to pull the trigger.
I know. Why? No, never, no. Why they won't never. They? No, I don't want to hear the historical stuff because this is a brand new. Ryan Poles wasn't a part of that.
All right. Well, okay. If they pull the trigger.
No, I said, why won't they pull the trigger?
Because that's just not their culture. That's not what they're doing to write it out. And unless Kevin Warren gets really involved, but that's really not what he's there for.
You know,
that's not why they hired him at this point. He's trying to build something better, but what? And then he's trying
culture?
To sell
culture,
Chicago
Joe.
Stadium?
Culture. I'm sorry, yeah, I've been stuck on that word. Culture. Yeah. IDGAF about your culture. Get rid of the coach. Ryan Poles is not from that culture. Ryan Poles is brand new. Ryan Poles is trying to create something different here. And if you really want to do that, Mr. Ryan Poles, the same way you had, you finally built up the web ethos to get rid of Velus Jones Jr., you have to do the same thing.
You got
to
make the tough call.
Yes, you have
you
to.
You
got to
make the tough call. Because you know what? Because they're not going to go anywhere. They're going in this. They'll be lucky to win three games.
Oh, my God.
They'll be very lucky. Very lucky. They might not win another game. And I'm actually kind of hoping they don't.
They have eight games left. I cannot see them going 4-4. Absolutely not.
You know, if they don't go 10-7, I don't want them to win another game. Because if they don't go 10-7, they're not making the wild card. They're just not going to.
Oh, this team is far from a wild card spot, my friend.
Exactly. And that's not what we thought in September.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's not what we thought in September. We were all hopeful. And it was there. It was there for the taking. It was there for – look at all the great signings. I mean, the talent is there, but now the team gave up. The team gave up because they don't have confidence in what they're doing. And it's a shame because that one play at the end of the Washington game, how does that destroy a season?
Yeah, breaks your heart. It breaks your heart.
Man, and that's exactly what it just washed the whole season. And like you said, nobody took accountability. You know, nobody pointed the thumb back. And now look where we're at.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go to Green Bay next week.
Get destroyed.
Hopefully not. But, you know, I have no confidence. And what are you going to do? You're going to hit the reset button and go, okay, we can do this. We can do that. You're not going to do anything. It's the same old, year in and year out. For the past 50 years, and 50 years I've been watching the Bears, where they have maybe 7, 8, maybe 10 winning seasons.
That's been bad. Been bad. Joe, thanks for the call, man. Always appreciate the chat with you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. I'll be here.
I know. And we'll be talking together, my friend. That we will. Brings up some great points. Some really, really strong ones. I want to hear from you, too, though. 312-644-6767. Hearing Shane Waldron's name called when they announced the new offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears was similar to that of when they rattled off Mitchell Trubisky's name. When Mitch Trubisky was drafted third, I remember where I was at. I was at the draft party. The Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky. What? Everybody. Did you say, I'm sorry, I thought you said Deshaun Watson. Oh, no, you said Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, damn. Shane Waldron, you went on a search and you turned over every rock and you came up with Shane Waldron? Yes, Joe from Cicero, mistakes were made. The wrong people were brought in. And Coach Eberflus's hiring practices should be questioned. Whether it's Allen, whether it's Getsy, whether it's Waldron. You have to question this man. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Phil out in Mount Prospect. Phil, we all know there's plenty of blame to go around, but what portion of that goes to the person with the most right there? Who gets the largest part of that blame?
Well, there's plenty to go around. I'm going to get very specific. Number one, you have an offensive line that wasn't good to begin with that when Tevin Jenkins went out, you're down three starters. You've got a quarterback that doesn't have time to throw, and when he does, he's either pulling the ball too long or misfiring. You've got a offensive coordinator calling a pass behind the line of scrimmage on third and three that loses 5 yards. We got the ball back, minute 46 and a half with no timeouts. Normally you use the sidelines, complete passes, and get out of bounds. He's calling a pass play up the middle, followed by a running play that loses 5 yards, goes three and out, and then they come down and get a field goal before halftime. That was the ball game right there. We're down 10 at the half and never recovered from that. And, oh, by the way, we've now been shut out in the first quarter, 7 out of 9 games. Have 10 first-quarter points, which is the worst in the NFL.
Yeah,
and Gerald Everett's got to go.
Oh, man, he missed that block.
He wouldn't block me if I was on the defensive line.
Yeah, that was a tough one, going back to that
row.
And the Bears giving up two scores, like you mentioned, to end the first half. It's like, how many times are the Bears going to allow points at the end of the half? Whether it's the Washington game, Cardinals last week did it, saw the Patriots do it as well. It's become a theme, and it's saying too much about this team. Too much about this team, Phil, and what they're unable to do.
I don't even know if it would do any good to fire the coaching staff right now, because who's going to be the interim coach? I mean, the Jets, when they fired their coach, they've gone 1-4 since then. So, you know, it's not going to do any good to replace everybody midseason. But at the end of the season, you got to clear everybody out.
You know what it is, Phil? Sometimes if you get a really bad infection in your arm back in the day, you know, you just didn't want the infection to spread to the rest of your body, so you had to chop off the arm. You understand what I'm saying? Wherever it's at, you can't just let it linger and linger because you can't have medicine for it. No, you chop off the arm and you save the rest of the body. And that's what you're hoping for the Chicago Bears team. You got to chop off a piece. Because let me tell you something right now. This is how I really feel, Phil. And thanks for the call, by the way. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Here's how I really feel about what needs to happen with Shane Waldron. I made the joke earlier where I said people are going to see him in the hallway and it's going to be very uncomfortable. Hey, Shane, how's it going? It's going all right. No, it's not. You're out of here, buddy. But I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. Brian Poles needs to be, you know how like maybe in elementary school when the principal showed up to class, you were like, oh, damn. And she was just doing observations. You didn't know anything about it, but you were on your best behavior. Ryan Poles needs to walk into that training facility, wherever they're watching tape at, doing their little morning meetings. He needs to make his presence felt from the very beginning. So people are like, oh, damn. And then, in the middle of practice, he needs to call Shane Waldron into his office. Not Flus, stay your ass over there. Waldron into my office. And Ryan Poles needs to fire Shane Waldron. Ryan Poles. I walk into the building. I bring Shane Waldron into my office. I let him go because Ryan Poles is an adult who is running a business, running a franchise. And there is an underperforming employee. I hired you to do A. You are not living up to that standard. Not even close to that standard. Nor do I see a path to success with you as a part of this franchise. So therefore, I'm sorry, you're fired. It's that simple. It's that simple. Then you walk back out and you say, Flus, everyone, team meeting. Oh, damn, what happened? Shane Waldron will no longer be a member of this organization. Moving forward, Thomas Brown will be calling the plays. And y'all better act right or else you're going to see me a lot more and you don't want to see me die.
I know you're serious about this when you're 100% calling for people's jobs. You said you don't do that.
I don't do that. I do not do that.
Gabe never plays around, but Gabe is 1,000% serious.
I just gave you my vision for how it goes down. You have to send that level of message to this team. You have to. That is where you're at right now. And the growth of the Chicago Bears. You are no longer hoping and trying. You've built it, and now you need to see that product on the field play the way you anticipated when you put them together. And again, you could, everybody's looking at each other like, what is the problem, right? Because there is a problem. That we can agree on. Whether you think Flus needs to get fired or Shane Waldron or whatever, Caleb Williams, you think he sucks, none of those matter, because those, we can all argue about that. But the part we can argue is that there is a problem. And it's up to Ryan Poles to fix it in the present. 312-644-6767. Let's read a couple of text messages over here that have been coming in. Let me see. I hear a lot of people using the term regression in reference to the Bears offense. Yes. For regression to take place, there had to have been first a consistent level. No, what regression is just what the mean is, right? And you're talking about a regret. I took statistical economics. It's called econometrics. It's a class at USC. My degree's in economics. And so I took a regression class. It was actually kind of crazy. My project, my senior project, was tuition for colleges and trying to find the proper variables to see if you can find the right conclusion that would correlate properly to which. Anyways, mine was, my hypothesis was that I thought Michigan State would be cheaper to attend or easier to get into than Michigan, but it's quite the opposite. It's quite the opposite. It's very expensive, and it's very hard to get into that school. But Michigan being a private school, more minorities were in that as a percentages than Michigan State. Anyway, the point is, they did have success, but they didn't in the beginning of the season. So then there was a regression away from what we thought was the norm back to the mean. That is the regression that people are talking about when it comes to the Chicago Bears team. Somebody else says from the 6-3-0, the Bears are a dumpster fire. I don't know how else to say it, but when you draft bad players, sign free agents that spend much of the game on the bench with a hangnail, and hire coaches with no clue on what they're doing, what did you expect? Oh my gosh. So true. Bad. It's very bad. 574 says, how can you guys as journalists not smell a rat with Poles and seemingly everyone else all sharing an agent? I know, people keep talking about that. Trace Armstrong being the agent of Poles, Flus, and Shane Waldron.
And Luke Getsy.
I don't smell a rat.
But if that's truly the reason why all of these people were hired, what are you doing here? You're not looking for the best people to fill this job and develop these quarterbacks. You're just looking for kind of like a clan. Like, oh, he's a part of this group. Let's hire. No, that's not how this works.
Yeah, that's like, it's like you're watching, what was the House of Cards? It's like to come up with that kind of scenario and see that.
It's just common sense. Connection. It's common sense.
217 says the reason the Bears won't change is because they never accept responsibility for their blanking actions. Yeah, it's weird, right? Like, I think when you, and Swan, I'll get to you in just a second. I think that when you're looking at Chicago, right, and obviously it's because we see Jerry Reinsdorf handle his two teams the way that he does, right, where he's very loyal. You don't see a lot of turnover. And then the Bears were kind of the same way, right, with Ted Phillips and, you know, not firing coaches in the middle of the season. So there's this lingering loyalty that exists in Chicago where we're not Los Angeles or New York on the coasts. We have lifers here. You can be a lifer in Chicago. And again, you're not going to get the glitz and glamour of Hollywood and LA, and you're not going to get the movie stars and everything from New York, but we're our own bubble. And I think that's why people stay here for long periods of time. So when you're talking about the culture of keeping things in house and, you know, operating it as a business with people that they like. It's because they do. In Chicago, we do things differently here. I mean, damn, I'm still here at the score. Right? Let's be real. Like, this is kind of like, you're a good person. You're kind of cool. We're from Chicago. We'll be all right. And you know what? Let's just keep it moving. That's what's going on. 847, not going to lie. The Bears Hard Knocks gave me a little butterflies. Saban appearing was the icing. Ugh. That kind of stuff.
That's tough to hear now.
Hard Knocks messed you up? Got you feeling yourself too much? I have the answer. You want to know what the answer is? I have the answer. I should tease this at the next break, but I'm just going to tell you right now. I'll just say it a couple times.
A little interesting thing, though, from that is, you know, how much of that conversation with Nick Saban did we see? Was there more that wasn't on that episode in the first couple minutes?
No, that was fluff. That was just a fluff appearance for him to be there so it could look good. But look, I got the answer. The answer to everything is that Flus needs to shave his beard. He's filling himself too much with the beard. Starts being, I'm swaggy, my wife, yeah, my kids dress me, boom, 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 I got some money, we got Caleb Williams, I'm on Hard Knocks, I'm a national superstar, I got a dope house. No. Shave the beard. No Shave November? Uh-uh. Shave November. Shave it, and you can't grow it back until you win like three in a row.
Well, it doesn't matter what look he has, they're going to probably lose anyway. That's all he's done since he's been here, since 2022. So 3-14, 7-10, now so 14-29 as a Chicago Bears head coach.
It's pathetic.
Let's 14-29.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. If you got something to say about this Bears loss, we need to talk about it. Let's go to Southside Swan. What's going on? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Long time learn, see?
That's right.
Man, let me just start off by saying, long time Bears fan since 85. And I got some buddies. They Pittsburgh fans. You know, every week I got to hear them. What's wrong with this? Why are y'all doing like I own the team? Like I'm making these moves. You know, this is the sorriest bunch of guys I have seen in years. Give up. I mean, you got the lame duck coach. You got players that's giving up. You got the city. I have never seen the city just give up so quick. I'm to the point I'm looking for the draft again. I mean, once you go down these roads in Chicago and stuff like that, you know, we're vicious. The media vicious. Pope Flusy, I mean, he lost the team. You know, that one play actually broke their heart. And when you get your heart broke, what happens?
You got to protect it a little bit more. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, you can boil down to that because the game was so bad. The game was so bad against the Commanders. You could not believe that that's what was happening. And the players, despite the poor coaching, came back and took the lead with seconds left. And the coaching staff gave it up. And that is why the players hate and have disassociated themselves with the coaching staff because of that moment right there.
When you got a team like the Lions, make a crazy comeback. I mean, I remember the Lions 0-16.
Mm-hmm.
And now we right there of being just a disgrace, man. You know, they said, should we fire Flusy? Yes. Flusy needs to go. I mean, Shane. I mean, I don't know. I'm so disappointed. I mean, this is makes you want. Hey, you know, as a Bears fan, you have so. I've never seen that little kid heart broke like that. Meaning, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
You see his face on the bench and gets. I mean, not gets. What's his name? He over there trying to smile. Y'all down. You ain't even scoring a touchdown. I mean, we have scored what under 20 points in the whole month.
27. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And the thing is, it's only going to get worse because you're going to continue to face better teams in the next coming weeks.
Oh, that's the gauntlet. I call that the gauntlet. You ain't finna beat Detroit. Now,
no.
You ain't finna beat Green Bay playing like, and you sure ain't finna beat Minnesota.
It's gotten back to the point where, and I thought we were far removed from this point, but it's gotten back to the point where you're like, going into a Sunday against one of these teams where you're saying, man, now you're saying, just please, just don't get embarrassed. Right before, you know, I might have had some hope going into these games that the Bears would have beat the Cardinals, Bears would have beat, you know, the Commanders, Bears would have beat the Patriots. I might have felt better, but now instead of don't lose, it's don't get embarrassed against some of these teams, because I could see the Bears going against Detroit and getting absolutely embarrassed.
Oh my God, let me tell y'all, I go to Detroit for a game, and Detroit got the fight of this fight song. I think it was like a year and a half ago. When the kid scored the first touchdown, he threw a pass, or I don't think he ran it in. He scored a touchdown. After that, they scored 6 straight touchdowns. So they kept playing this little fight music they had. Oh, my God. It was a little kid. Mm. He had to be about 8 years old. When the Bears first scored the touchdown, I was like, yeah! In your face, this little kid, little veins popped out after he got the when we came. They came back. I said, "Jesus Christ, they're serious here." But I'm gonna let y'all go, man. Let y'all talk. But man, this is bad.
It's gonna be bad for the next couple of weeks. But I'll be here for everybody. I'll be here for you. Be here hanging out, talking to you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Fireplace and Chimney Authority. But the at least before, it felt like there were answers to the problems. This one seems far gone. Bears fans already knew it was going to be tough to sneak into the playoffs. So when you lose games that Bears fans have slated as W's, then yeah, people are going to give up on the season. People are going to stop watching, because it's going to be like Thanksgiving might be the last game people watch. Get blown out by the Lions and get embarrassed on Thanksgiving. You're 4-8 at that point. Woo! Oh, even sounds horrible. All right, 312-644-6767. Mark, I see you on hold. Corey, I see you on. Jeff, I see you on hold. We're going to get some more phone calls. We got some phone lines open. I want to hear from you, too. This was an absolute debacle from the Chicago Bears. Just one trip. Nothing to show. Oh, my God. Are the Bears' issues rooted in talent? In coaching? Is there something deeper? What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls next right here.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
The Patriots controlled the game from start to finish, and this might be the worst team we've seen in years. How can we even say that? But it's true. And it's up to you to tell me more about those feelings you have inside. 312-644-6767. The stats of the game tell you the story. The Bears were favored by 6 points in this one. People laughed at it. Pat McAfee said, hammered the New England Patriots. It was the lowest total point total of the week in the NFL at 38. The lowest scoring. Oh, my God. 6.5. Bears aren't 6 points better than anyone right now. You can text in as well. A lot of ways to get in touch with me. Let's go out to the phones, though. 312-644-6767. Mark out in Richmond. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. I said this before the draft, and I say this after the draft, and I got on the radio one other time about this. Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive coordinator. That's all he is. He's been a good defensive coordinator even when we got him from Indianapolis. He needs to step down, go back in there. Ryan Poles needs to stop hiring people that are just coordinators for coaching staff. We've wrecked 3 quarterbacks now. He should have went and got, I don't know, why don't we try going to Caleb Williams and asking him, hey, how did you like your head coach from college? Did you like the guy? Is he all right? Maybe we ought to try somebody that actually knew Caleb Williams. He's the number one draft pick. He was high up. I didn't even want the guy. I wanted Daniels. But Daniels ended up going to a team where he got coached. And they were a dumpster fire last year. You're seeing what one quarterback and coaches can do. He's got that team turned around. The Bears were supposed to come in this year with 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back that can catch the ball down the field like a Matt Forte, and we're doing nothing to this kid's strengths. The offensive line, everybody knew when the offensive line came in, when Caleb Williams came in, we weren't here to run the football. We were here to throw the ball down the field, not 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage and make a wide receiver into a running back and try to get him hurt. That's what DJ Moore is mad about, because he's not a running back. He's a wide receiver. That's what we were supposed to do. We have totally abandoned it, what we started out to do, because the Bear fans all got to run the ball. We got to run the ball. So then they get pressured to run the ball. We're not set up to run the ball. We've never been set up to run the ball this year. We were supposed to be a high-scoring offense. We've walked away from our tight end. We don't even see our tight end for 3 games. In the Washington game, yes, I think that the players quit playing for him at the Washington game. That was pivotal. That was extremely pitiful, that game. We should have been able to win that game, but we didn't. The team didn't rally, and our heads of the organization never made any significant changes. And when you stay with the same old, that's what's going to happen. And Eberflus is now got our team running around there with 3 quarters trying to run a no-huddle offense, and they have no idea what they're doing. Look at those guys up on the line. They don't know what's going on. All they're doing is hurrying up, running up onto the line, and it looks like high school. It's pathetic.
It's a bad offense from the very beginning. And, you know, if in your perfect world, Mark, what would the offense look like? If it were to be operating at a high level, what would it look like to you in terms of, you know, balance between rushing and passing and who should be getting the most targets?
Right now, there's going to be no balance of rushing and passing. Because we're not set up to be balanced. We're set up to throw the ball down the field. And Caleb has had time, but our guys are not getting open. And when they do get open, you've seen the plays. They have done very well. If you want to mix it up, you got to get Cole Kmet into the game. Look what happened yesterday. He was targeted 3 times, 3 catches, and wow, we moved the ball further down in 5 yards at a crack. Our defense is playing very well, but they need to get off of the field. But then again, it doesn't really matter when we keep trying to throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage or run when we can't even move the ball at all.
Yeah.
Just
plays that don't make sense. We see a lot of that stuff. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls 312-644-6767. When it comes to QB rating for quarterbacks in the NFL, Caleb Williams is 81 right now. That's QB rating on the season. Here are the quarterbacks that have a lower rating, a passer rating, excuse me, than Caleb Williams. Gardner Minshew. These are people that have lower than Caleb Williams. Gardner Minshew, Will Levis, Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson, Aiden O'Connell, Mason Rudolph, Jacoby Brissett, Spencer Rattler, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. That's a horrible group to be bundled up with. Right above Caleb Williams, give you 5 names. Andy Dalton, Bo Nix, Jameis Winston, Drake May, then Dak Prescott. Those are the 5 names ahead of Caleb Williams on the list. It's tough. Tough. Caleb Williams, completion percentage hovering at 60. That was the death number for Justin Fields the last couple of years. Said he got to get to 65, got to get to 67, got to keep these drives going. Tough. There's one stat on NextGen on NFL.com. It's called aggressiveness. I got to take a deeper dive into like what that actually means. But Patrick Mahomes has the lowest percentage at 6.8. Does that mean that he throws the easiest throws? Is that what that means? I got to look into this. Dak Prescott at the top, 20%. Ah, this game is just so frustrating to talk about. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Corey, out in Bridgeport. Good to talk to you again. Corey, what you got in your mind?
A whole lot about not much of anything from the Bears offense. Quick question for you.
Sure. I'm listening.
If I curse, is it going to?
Yes, do not curse.
Is it going to get blurred?
Of course it will.
Okay,
of course
I got that. Okay. I was wondering if it was going to get blurted out or if I was going to get cut off.
Wait. You'll get cut off. Yeah. You will get cut off.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
So, I never liked the Flus. I never liked the Eberflus hiring as a head coach. I thought it needed to be more offensive minded, just for the fact that it's the one thing we haven't done, because we can name a lot of things as Bears fans, but an offensive-minded head coach is not one of them. And God forbid somebody say Trestman, I'll never have a conversation with them again, because it was all experimental. But I like Eberflus as a defensive head coach. Will he ever step down and be just that? No, we've already crossed that bridge, unfortunately. So either he's completely out of the picture or we're stuck. I had a buddy tell me earlier, well, you know, what about Jaden Daniels? He was picked after Caleb, and look at how he's doing. And I told him, in the same scenario, would Jaden Daniels be better than Caleb Williams? He goes, yes. I immediately killed off the conversation. Jaden Daniels has a coach that schemes for him. He has an offense that goes to his strengths, and unfortunately, as such a storied franchise in the NFL, it's the one thing the Bears have never done. It's built around what they have. We drafted Trubisky as an athletic quarterback from North Carolina, and we kept him in the pocket. The 3 times that they let him go, he ran for give or take 75 yards.
And then screwed up his shoulder.
Better game. What was that?
And then screwed up his shoulder.
100%. No, I agree. But there weren't many times he looked better. And just for the Bears' sake, stop drafting athletic guys to be what you didn't draft him for. Like, oh, look at this guy's athleticism. Look at this. Look at that. Look at these tools. And then it's, all right, well, let's try to have him sit in the pocket. We just have a knack with quarterbacks. But, I mean, just to go current, because we can sit here and talk about Bears quarterbacks that never were. For Caleb, for my buddy that said, oh, you know, Jaden Daniels would be doing better in this system and this, that, and the other, we don't scheme for him. And honestly, if I had someone crawling behind my neck on every drop back, I would let a couple passes go that are probably off target too. Is his completion percentage the best? No. Will I sit here and give him every benefit of the doubt and every pass on everything? No, because there still has to be some accountability.
Let me ask you this, Corey. Because I feel like a lot of people have been talking about lately the relationship between DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. It seems I have my opinions of what I think is going on between them two. What do you think is going on there?
I think it's a veteran frustrated with a rookie in a bad system.
And a rookie that's frustrated with the veteran because he's used to being the man. You can't forget that side.
This kid has learned how to do everything but lose.
And I was wondering how he's going to react to that. I talked about that a lot in the beginning of the season. I said, man, Caleb sounds so great at the podium. He's saying everything right before the season starts, and he's so happy. I was like, how is he going to act after a couple of losses? And did you see his post game? We're going to play it in a little bit. His post game, he came up to the podium. He was like, what's up, everybody? The same way he handles it. And he actually was in good spirits and actually had some really good answers that made me feel good about the Bears and more specifically Caleb Williams, the way he answered everything. So it felt good.
He's the one thing I'll say, and it's great with social media. We have access to things that athletes prior never had. He's been conditioned to this. So just kind of how they say Mahomes with his dad in the big leagues, he was around stars, so he didn't get starstruck. He knew how to be on the podium just because he spoke very well. For Caleb, he's really been conditioned to this. So that's like by the pre-draft process. It was, oh, well, Caleb's camp said this. Caleb's camp said that. Caleb's camp didn't say anything because they weren't dumb enough to screw themselves out of a better position. Caleb's been conditioned to be in the spotlight his entire life, and that is a blessing. It honestly is a blessing because the one thing we've had in Chicago is not a quarterback who actually, excuse my language, gives a damn and knows how to handle it. Because Chicago, to me personally, I always say we're the best and worst sports fans in the world because we love you when you're great. We'll deal with it when you're okay. But when it's taken as bad, we jump like hounds out of hell, and it's terrible. I would never want to coach or play here. This is me. I was raised in Chicago, but I would hate to play or coach here because we're so unforgiving and forgiving at the same time. Because we want everything that came back in '85 so bad, but as soon as it goes south, we're jumping all over everybody. So Caleb's conditioned for this. He's made for this. I still do believe in Caleb Williams. And I say this as a guy that said, hey, trade the house for the number one pick, keep Justin and build around him. But the one thing we didn't build around him or Caleb was a consistent offensive line. And like I said earlier, if I was running for my life or were at least worried about running for my life in the back of my head as a 22-year-old kid, I might misthrow some passes as well. I might be worried about certain things. I think Caleb has all the tools. But as a Chicago fan, I do not envy that kid.
Yeah.
And no. I also say that as a USC football fan. I went to Dodger Stadium when they gave away his bobblehead. My daughter's 10 years old. She turned 10 years old yesterday. I was a Marine. I turned 249 years old yesterday.
Hey, congratulations.
I do not envy that kid. I mean, if he ever signs, my daughter will be screaming his name at training camp, trying to get him to sign the bobblehead. But I'm thankful for the fact that he's conditioned for this. I just don't know how much more thin we can wear him because people as human beings can only take so much.
Yeah, thanks for
but
the
call. I mean, I,
Oh, I got you. Thanks I got you. Thanks for the call, Corey. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service as well. He's bringing up some great points. I will say this, though. You brought up that the Bears should get an offensive-minded coach. And they should have went in that direction, and you know, when they got Eberflus, but they were coming from Coach Nagy, who was supposed to be the savant. I mean, he is calling plays or helping with the offense in Kansas City in the present. The undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. Can you believe they blocked that field goal to win that game? That was unreal. And Patrick Mahomes, speaking of quarterbacks and things that didn't go our way, seeing him run on the field like a kid that was playing on the playground that just won a game, that was cool because it was another example of moments you wish he was doing that in a Bears uniform. But shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs as they continue their incredible run. Let's go back out to the phone. 312-644-6767. Let's go to John out in Memphis. John, welcome to the show.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Great. All right, what do you think the Bears should do in this situation?
Well, I see a lot of bad things coming along the line. Last week it was how many sacks that Caleb Williams took? Six or seven. And then today, 9. And then guess what? Next week, you got a tougher opponent, a divisional opponent. You got the Packers. So, look, it could be 12 or 13. And now I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Should we be, really seriously, because this is the future. We know he has the talent. Should we sit him down? And let Tyson Bagent and let him learn, you know, even though Tyson Bagent is not seasoned veteran, you know, he is a veteran. So should we just sit him down and protect Caleb? Because we don't have the offensive line to protect Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, John. I hear what you're saying. But you got to remember, you're constantly going to be in a predicament where you're saying, Caleb Williams is a rookie. Caleb Williams needs more reps. And I think that's what it boils down to. I think, I'll tell you this, John. If I'm the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, and I understand that, you know, my team's not going to go to the playoffs, but I also need to develop my quarterback, I'm going to call plays with max protection. I'm going to call plays that, you know, keep him safe. But Shane Waldron has shown an inability to do that. I'm talking about easy throws just to have him have a completion. The kid was like, had like 45 yards at halftime or something like that. It was that bad where you need to get into a rhythm. Clearly the Bears need to take a different approach. Whatever they are doing or what they think works doesn't. So they need to do something else. I, as the casual fan / analyst that's out here watching these games, I have some solutions. I've watched enough football in my day to tell you what I think can remedy this poor performance from the Chicago Bears in the first half of games, more specifically the first quarter. Warm your guy up. Run the ball 2 times in a row on the first drive. I don't care if he gets 3 yards on the first one and 2 yards on the next. Caleb Williams, the rookie quarterback, is much more capable of completing a 5-yard pass than he is on putting him in 3rd and 10 because of a sack or a bad play. And now the offensive line can't block long enough for the play to develop downfield. He has no feel for the game. He hasn't completed any passes. So there are remedies there. When you talk about the pressure, when you talk about the blitz, when you talk about the sacks that teams have gotten on the Chicago Bears over the last couple of weeks, as you saw yesterday with the Patriots, they're just dialing up the pressure. Dialing up the pressure via the stunt as well, causing confusion for a Bears offensive line that has zero continuity. There were guys on the line that have never played together during an NFL game. Doug Kramer, your center, playing guard today. Tevin Jenkins going down. Matt Pryor on one side, Larry Borum on the other. Larry Borum's been injured. Those guys haven't played together. So again, you have to do something else. But they're coming from the blitz. Again, you got to. Do I have faith that Shane Waldron is going to be able to do that? No. That's the biggest. Do I have faith in him to do that? Absolutely not. Right, you know, I always write down my little plays that stand out to me. It was a second drive. They were on the hurry-up offense. DeAndre Swift just got a. They ran three straight plays to the left. And there was a DeAndre Swift sweep that everyone knew was coming. And then it led you to third down. They get a bad sack, no field goal. Definitely wrote down a third and two or third and three to screen to DJ Moore. Oh, that was so bad. It's just so bad. Guy almost jumps the route. That was almost a pick six. There was like so many frustrating moments. On the fourth and four, because this is what we're going to talk about on the other side. Fourth and four, Caleb Williams scrambles for the first. Everybody was holding their breath on that one. DJ Moore was cutting across the middle. If you get an opportunity to go watch the game again, if you get an opportunity to watch the game again, go watch that play in particular, fourth and four. Caleb Williams scrambles for the first. DJ Moore is running over the middle. He's open. Caleb Williams decides to run for the first, though, instead of throwing it to DJ Moore. And DJ Moore is pissed. He's pissed. He's pissed that he didn't get the ball. He turns to the side. I went and replayed it six times. He turns to the side after the scramble because he didn't get it. Mind you should be excited because you got the first. If you're really playing a team game and you're playing for the man next to you, like Coach Eberflus talks about often, you should have been happy. Instead, he was upset. And then there was another time. Okay, you know what? Let's go to break. I'm going to get into the Caleb Williams, DJ Moore relationship and my theory surrounding it. But I want to hear what you got to say about this one. It was a tough one. Coach Eberflus said in the postgame, we need to execute better. But is execution the problem? Has this team lost its direction entirely? Your calls on Eberflus, Caleb Williams, and more. 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez talking to you next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.